On April 11, 2002, Al-Qaeda carried out an attack on a synagogue in Tunisia in which 19 people were killed. Al-Qaeda took more than half a year to follow up on 9/11 with a renewed attack. I'm fairly certain that for most of you, the very first time you heard of a terrorist group that went by the name of Al-Qaeda, or AQ, was in the aftermath of 9/11. Prior to that, the terrorist organization run by Osama bin Laden was not a household name. Neither was terrorism something the average person paid much attention to, and AQ was really the concern of those in the law enforcement and security intelligence agencies. As for me, I was working in SIGINT, Signals Intelligence, at CSE, Communication Security Establishment, in the late 1990s, and I recall a reporting line that the Americans entitled the UBL Network, UBL standing for Osama bin Laden, of course. I will not lie to you, I gave this issue a fleeting glance. I was working on other priorities at the time. If you're interested in my reaction to 9/11 as it unfolded for me from within the world of spooks, have a look at the introduction to my fourth book, An End to the War on Terrorism. Like many, both in the intelligence world and elsewhere, my life changed that day as I migrated to gaining a better understanding of not just Al-Qaeda, but violent Islamist extremism in general, a change that has been ongoing for almost 20 years now. Most of us strove to understand just what this AQ was, who this UBL was, and what drove people to fly planes into buildings. While we did our best to get up to speed on this group of terrorists, we were also nervous about when the, quote, other shoe would drop. You see, we were convinced that there was more AQ terrorism on its way, and we obviously wanted to stop it before it happened. No one wanted another attack, even if it was not on the scale of the events in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. It might come as a surprise to you, then, that the next significant attack, attributed to Al-Qaeda, did not come for another 7 months. On this day in 2002, a suicide bomber detonated a truck bomb outside the El Griba synagogue in Djerba, Tunisia, killing 19, including 16 German and French tourists. The man at the wheel was a man named Nizar Nawar, and the operation was coordinated by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, who was captured by the US and Pakistan in 2003. So, why Tunisia? Although we associate the North African state with the launch of the Arab Spring and a democracy of sorts, it has actually had a jihadi problem for a long time. I refer the reader to a recent book by Aaron Zellin, Your Sons Are at Your Service, Tunisia's Missionaries of Jihad. Aaron joined me recently for a podcast to talk of his scholarship. Al-Qaeda has been behind some terrible acts of violence over the past three decades. Alas, the end is not in sight. Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Ottawa, Canada. Thank you for listening to this episode of Today in Terrorism, where we look at what happened on this day in the past and what it means for today. I'd love to hear what you think of the content here at Borealis. You can email me at borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @BorealisSaves, or on LinkedIn or on Facebook. You can also subscribe to all my content, Today in Terrorism, Quick Hits, Perspectives, and other media by going to my website, www.borealisthreatandrisk.com, and clicking the subscribe button on the top right of the screen. You will receive all the content free of charge to your inbox on a daily basis. That's it for today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow for another episode of Today in Terrorism. Until then, stay safe.